We could say that this form of practice emphasizes the wisdom side of experience, or the practice is emphasizing the meeting of just things as they are. And sometimes people have asked Sayadaw, you know, where is the metta in this practice? And it really is in the attitude, in how we meet experience. I mean, we could talk about it as non-reactive, non-judgmental, and that sounds kind of just, I don't know, neutral, or you know, it's the wisdom side. It sounds like the wisdom side. But as I mentioned in the guided meditation, if we had a friend sitting with us who was completely non-judgmental, completely non-reactive, and, you know, having that sense of willingness to be there, I think that's the feeling. Sometimes non-reactive, people feel kind of checked out, but really present with us, just really present, willing to be there with us. We would feel it as a real care, a real love. And so this is where the love really, the metta is developed in this practice. We can feel it sometimes. Sometimes when we touch into the quality of heart that is that allowing heart, sometimes it feels more like non-reactivity or balance or ease or peace or something like that. But sometimes it has a quality of real heartfelt connection. And it is cultivating this wholesome quality of care, of love in our experience. And my experience is that it just grows and gets stronger. The more the heart is open, the more it can meet what is here. The less resistance there is, the more fully it meets what's here. And it can feel more fully both the joys and the sorrows of the world. So it's a heart that is unconstricted, we could say. And that is really that flavor of love. And of course, if the metta practice is something that's useful for you in terms of settling the mind in a place of challenge, that's fair game as one of the tools to use when it's hard to be mindful. You know, if that's a tool that supports you to balance your mind, by all means, use it. Our basic practice is this cultivation of recognizing the awareness and what is happening, and beginning to see those attitudes of mind, inclining towards that, allowing what's arising to be here. It's actually way less suffering to allow what's here to be here, because it's already here. It's already here. We might as well allow it. So a couple of questions. So one, a question about a challenge with staying awake in the meditations. A little context. Ever since the war in Gaza started, my nervous system has been highly reactive. I've been trying to continue my daily practice to cultivate calm. However, I'm falling asleep every time I meditate. This is not typical. The reactivity is exhausting, and I believe the sleeping is nature, but I don't want to miss out on the opportunity to practice. And then there was a clarification of this, that the person is not experiencing sleepiness. What they experience is that they're practicing and then they're waking up from sleep. So there's not a sense of like feeling like they're trying to practice through sleep or fighting with sleep. They're practicing, and then they find themselves waking up from sleep. So there's several different things here. This is a kind of an interesting experience. I've had this kind of experience before. The context here of, you know, being, having a the charged situation around the war and the reactivity and how challenging that is and the exhaustion of that reactivity. You know, it might be that just when you let your mind settle for a few moments, the exhaustion just, you know, it is nature, that sometimes the exhaustion can just take us to sleep. It's like that's what our system needs in a way, perhaps. And so, you know, not to necessarily fight that, and to, you know, almost accept as a gift that just that little bit of practice gives the mind a little break, gives it a sense of, you know, being able to let go and rest. So what I'd encourage is not so much try to stay awake, but be very, very curious that moment when mindfulness wakes up, you know, that moment that the mindfulness has returned. There may be a little bit of judgment happening there. You know, there's some resistance to it because there's a sense of, you know, wanting to not have been asleep. But again, that was what was happening. So, and there wasn't a lot of control. I'm hearing there's not a lot of control with this. There's not a sense of like knowing that you're sleepy even. It sounds like there's awake, alert, practicing, and then it's not even a sense of going. There's just a sense of waking up. So notice what's happening when the mind wakes up. Just what's the quality of the mind there? It may be more relaxed. Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of different things that could be happening. If it's gone into sleep, sometimes what often happens if it's really been asleep is there's a kind of a groggy feeling as you come out of that, perhaps. But if it feels like there's a very sudden alert clarity in the mind when the mindfulness returns, that's interesting because it may not have been actual sleep. It may have been a different state, a state in which there was not mindfulness. So one thing you can explore there is to see, was your body collapsed? When we sleep, our body will collapse. We can't hold ourselves up. But some of these states we can go into, states that just like, you know, the mind just decides it needs to rest. It needs to kind of go into a state where it's not here. Could be, I don't know. It might be more interesting to kind of have a conversation at a later time about this. But if there's not a collapse, and the body is still alert and there's a rapid return of mindfulness, a very sudden return of mindfulness in that moment, it may not have been sleep. It may just have been another state. And anytime the mind does that, I've experienced this before in my practice where there's a sense of the sudden return of mindfulness after having just been gone. And whatever you are aware of in that moment when mindfulness returns, if it's a clarity of aware again, you know, that whatever state is there is a little bit of a hint of what had been happening when you were not present. Now, if it may be sleep, as I, you know, it may well be sleep. And, you know, that also you might be able to recognize the sense of coming out of a state that feels like sleep. But I'm not sure that it's really sleep here. You know, so that's just something that the place or the way to begin to explore this is to really be curious in that moment when mindfulness returns. Now, if you are sleeping, you can always try things, you know, just different things like keeping your eyes open, or just doing standing meditation, instead of sitting meditation with your eyes closed. You know, if you're actually falling asleep, those things can help keep you awake a little bit. And then another question. How to consider the situation when I feel like I'm engaged and present in an activity, for instance, walking outside and observing nature or being engaged in a conversation with a friend, and then will notice to myself that I'm being present. That moment feels like a disruption to the flow rather than noticing being present. So the recognition of being present somehow feels like a disruption to the flow. So, you know, I think sometimes what can happen is that there are states or times where we're in a kind of a flow, a little bit of an engagement with what's happening, but there's not a clear sense of awareness of it. That may be a little bit more, I mean, it's not that you're lost in thought, you're fully engaged in it, but there's not a clear recognition that this is what's happening in the moment. It may be a little bit more of a concentration state almost, which we can have. We can have when we're reading a book or talking to a friend or walking outside, the mind can kind of get absorbed into that state. And so at that experience, sometimes the feeling of, you know, waking up or becoming, you know, knowing, oh, I'm here, it can feel a little bit like, oh, this is a little different. So just keep playing with it. You know, just keep playing with that noticing. And I think eventually it will begin to feel a little less like a disruption and more of a just like an infusion of awareness into what is already happening. It may be that the awareness arises and then there's a little bit of kind of thinking about it, or, you know, a little bit of like, oh, I'm aware, you know, it kind of, you know, there's a little bit extra going on perhaps as that awareness comes back, a little bit of kind of almost the perception of that awareness that's spoken in our minds. And that can be part of the disruption too. But just notice what's happening. This is what you're noticing when you're in a present in an activity. It may be a little bit more of a concentration. And so then there's the kind of recognition, I am present. That may be a little bit more of a sense that, yes, there is mindfulness here, a recognition of that. Just notice that that's what happens and notice that it feels like a disruption. It may be that there's a little more presence in the engaged experience than you're really recognizing too. So I don't have a really clear response for this, but I think all that I really want to say is just keeping, you know, you got later in the questions, am I overthinking this? You know, but yeah, just let go of overthinking it. Just notice when you kind of consciously recognize, oh, I'm present, that feels a little jarring, and just keep going. You know, just keep going with that. That's what you noticed. That's what happened. So just notice that. And we can keep checking in about this as we go.